thank Michael for allowing me to teach, and this has been something this weekend that I've been looking forward to for a long time. So, it's rather cold outside, isn't it? So cold outside, I can't speak in tongues. No, that's not true. So, this week, I made an assumption. You know what that is? An assumption? And that assumption I made turned out to be wrong. Is that a good word, Tony? An assumption? It's okay? Okay. So I made one of those, and it turned out to be wrong, and then some stuff happened because of it, and then I was like, am I going to lose my brain here and let my mind go to places it really shouldn't go? Or am I going to hold on to it? And this time, thankfully, I did hang on to my brain there and went to God, and it all worked out, and it was really good. And so, you know, it's the battlefield of the mind. The mind can be a terrible thing, as the thing goes. It's a battlefield of the mind, and we got to hold on to our brains and bring it back to God's Word. So that's what we're going to look at today, is the battlefield of the mind. But to deal with this, I want to lay down a couple things here. It's just some terminology, I think, that most of us know. You know, there's two kinds of knowledge in the world, good and bad. No, there's two kinds of knowledge. One is natural knowledge, and it comes by way of the five senses, right? And it comes in there, and it's about facts, it's about what man does. It's about the world around us, all these different things. And it's not totally reliable all the time, is it? Because it changes, right? You know, 20 years ago, if you wanted to go on a diet, you stopped eating fat. Today, if you want to go on a diet, you eat fat. Something has changed. Many years ago, you know, if you had high cholesterol and you ate three eggs, you were going to die immediately and go to hell. Things have changed. Eggs have become our friend now, like maps. Look at Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians 1. So besides natural knowledge, there's another kind of knowledge. This is all just preliminary here. We're going to deal with the battlefield of the mind, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 11. Says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not like sense knowledge. It's not after man. For I neither received it of man. It didn't come by way of the senses, or somebody didn't tell me all this stuff. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Sense knowledge comes by way of the five senses, the natural man. This gospel came to Paul by revelation. Revelation is when God communicates to us, which is very cool. And he can communicate to us via revelation, via the operation of the manifestations. And this too is revelation. This is revelation from God that was communicated to Paul or someone else, the guys who wrote it, and then they wrote down God's word. So there's five senses information, and then there is revelation, spiritual information. So we can choose to live our life by one of those. And, you know, sense knowledge isn't bad. There's a lot of great things you could learn. Learn how to drive a car. Learn to be a doctor or a nurse or learn to take care of kids. There's a lot of wonderful things that come by way of the senses. However, we should never elevate the senses ahead of the Word of God, and that's where calamity results, all right? Now, another thing is that we have body, soul, and what?
Spirit.
And the natural man, he's what? He's body and soul. A lot of BS. No, that's not true. He's body and soul. And then when we get born again, we're body, soul, and what?
Spirit.
Now, I have a friend, a very good friend, and he was going through his life, and, you know, he was an adult and whatever, and then somebody came up and told him that he was adopted. Now, he was the same guy, right? He was the same guy, but then he had to change his brain, like, okay, well, I'm a different person, and so I'm still the same person, but I'm a different person, and what does all this mean? And he had to find out about who he was and the whole thing, and he still was the same person. But now he looked at the world or he looked at stuff a little differently because he found out some different information. We go on in life, and somewhere along the line, we get born again. And then we realize we're different. We have a different identity. And then we want to get that information so we can continue on and we can know and understand and act according to our new identity. So, how then do we get that new information so that we really understand the Christ in us and that we can live that way? We get that information not by sense knowledge, but by revelation knowledge, even or spiritual knowledge, by the Word of God, or obviously God can talk to us. All this stuff is pretty simple and basic. But it's really important. Now, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, I'm going to say Christ in you. Or I'm going to say Christ in me. And then I'm going to go like that, and then you say Christ in me. Is that okay with you, Mary? Okay, this is difficult now. Okay, ready? All right, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
One more time.
Christ in me. Pretty good. All right. Now go to Romans chapter 6, please. Hey, in Romans chapter 5, we find out that we're righteous. That's really cool. And then in Romans 6 and 7, that kind of deals with some other stuff like, hey, I still have a natural man. I still have an old man, rather. I still have an old man, and how am I going to deal with him? In Romans chapter 6, we find out that we're not in sin. We're dead to sin. And then in Romans chapter 7, we find out that there's still sin in us, which is cool. It's not cool, but it's cool that we know that, and it's cool that God understands that, and he still loves us, which is very good. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 6, and in verse 3, I'm talking too much up here. Romans chapter 6, and in verse 3. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3 it says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in" what? In newness of life. We got a different life. We can walk free. We can walk. We reckon the old man dead. We understand our identity in Christ. And we walk in newness of life. Check this banner out here. God works in you. Does that apply to the old man nature? No. It's newness of life. God works in us, in the new man. And that's what we're here to study this weekend, all right? Ephesians chapter 4. It says, reckon the old man dead. It doesn't say dwell on him or magnify him or resurrect him. It says, reckon the old man dead. So we want to live or walk in newness of life. And God works in us. Man, if we can really leave here this weekend and really believe that God is at work within us, man, that's really a great investment of time this weekend. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4. You guys with me here? Yes? See? Ah, que bueno. Okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, how do we reckon the old man dead and live by newness of life? We do that by renewing our mind, by putting on spiritual knowledge, which helps us to know and to believe what we have in the new birth, the battlefield of the mind. Am I, are all of us, going to believe what the Word of God says about us so that we can walk in newness of life and that we can really believe that it's God at work within us? Look, the battlefield is the mind. And the battle has been won. Jesus Christ won the battle. Now, the battle is, are we going to believe the words of victory? He won it all. We have it. Now all we have to do is believe the words of the Word of God, and that's the battlefield of the mind. By free will, we follow the words in the Word of God so that we can believe them and live accordingly. You know, there's nobody that knows better than the devil that he's a loser. The devil knows very well that he's a loser. So now what he does is he steals God's word so that people don't realize, number one, that he is a loser, and number two, the depth of the victory that we have in Christ. So now let's take a little look here at the words in the word. They are powerful and they produce spiritual results. Look at Genesis chapter 1, please. That's pretty easy to find. I can do that. Genesis chapter 1. You know, the earth became without form and void. The world got all messed up, and it became empty. In verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God moved. He moved. He wanted to correct things. What was the first thing that he did to correct things in the world? Make a peace treaty with the adversary? Is that what he did? No. So the world was messed up. God moved. How did he deal with it? In verse 3 it says, and God what? And God what? And God what?
Said.
In verse 6, it says, and God what?
Said.
And God what?
Said.
It's pretty easy. Verse 9, and God what?
Said.
And God, in number 11, and God what?
Said.
In verse 14, and God what?
Said.
So the world was a total mess. It was empty. It was really messed up. And how did God correct it? He spoke. He spoke. He spoke. And then that changed the world. And the world was really messed up. How did God correct it? He spoke. In the Old Testament, there were prophets, right? And there was a lot of interesting, bad situations. And the prophet would stand up and he would go, thus saith the Lord. Who spoke? The prophet spoke, but what was he doing? He was speaking God's words. And when people believed the words, maybe in his vocabulary, but when they believed the words of God, they got the results. And if they didn't, sometimes the consequences. So, you know, God, the world was messed up. How did he correct it? He spoke. Prophets in the Old Testament, God talked to them, and what did they say? They said the word of God, God's solution, God's heart, God's information to the people in the situation. We're looking at the words of the word. Psalm 107, verse 20. Let's take a look at that, please. Psalm 107, verse 20. You know what this plant is here? Very good on chicken. All right, look here at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Are you there yet? I'm not. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 20, it says here, he sent his word and what? Did he send medicine? Nothing wrong with medicine, but here it says, he sent his what? Word. The word healed them. Still true today. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their what? So, God used words. He spoke and the world came back together. Prophets in the Old Testament spoke and they spoke God's word. Here, the word was sent by God and it healed the people. Look at Luke chapter 1, please. Angels in the Bible spoke God's word. It was the angel that was speaking, but they spoke God's word. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 26. Most of us are very familiar with this record. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, God's messenger, his emissary, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was what?
Mary.
Some of you are named Mary. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her, and the angel did what?
Said.
The angel came and he was going to speak some very, very deep words. And something was about to happen here that had never happened before. The angel spoke. And what that angel was going to speak was going to change the course of human history. The acceptable year of the Lord. The man was going to be born where all of human history revolves around his life. And it was introduced in this situation with the angel said. Now, Mary had to do some believing here, didn't she? It just wasn't about the angel saying. Verse 35, and the angel said unto her, look at this. This is outside of the nine dots, isn't it? This is above sense knowledge-wise. This is way out of the box. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. What? And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of who? She was going to have God's child. God somehow was going to get her pregnant, and she was going to have a child by God. And that's a heck of a thing to have to go home and tell your husband, really. People have heard stories sometimes, and that's a good one. But it wasn't a story. It was true. And this woman was maybe 14, little girl, by our standard, verse 36. And behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. That's a lot for a 14-year-old kid, man. I just want to, like, watch, you know, the television or do something. That's a lot. How did she respond to the words of God that the angel spoke to her in this situation? The angel spoke God's word. This was God's word, no matter how outside of the nine dots it was. Verse 37, this is her response. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. This is one of the great sections of believing in God's word. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid, the female servant or slave of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy what? So the angel spoke God's word, and she believed Gabriel just as if it was coming from the mouth of God. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. She believed Gabriel, and this section right here changed the course of human history. Because this woman believed God. She got pregnant, and something so totally impossible happened. And all of us have benefited immensely from what happened right here. Words. She believed words. And look what happened. Be it unto me according to thy word. What a statement of believing. She chose the word of God ahead of sense knowledge. John chapter 6, please. John 6. Do you want to help people? I do. John chapter 6, and in verse 63, words, more words. Words are important, aren't they? John 6, 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? They are spirit and they are life. What does that mean? Well, they're life-giving. Jesus Christ was speaking words to them, and if they carried out those words, the words that God gave him, they were going to have life. We believe Romans 10:9. We believe other things in here. That's impossible. We believe that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. That's impossible. And you know what? We got life. We got life because we believed words. Words are so important. What happened? The world was all messed up, and God spoke, and the world was changed back okay. Prophets in the Old Testament spoke. They spoke with their own vocabulary, but they spoke what God wanted spoken. The angel spoke God's word to Mary, and all of human history was changed because this woman believed the words that the angel told her from God. Words, the word of God is so powerful. One day, years ago maybe, some of us believed Romans 10:9, or all of us, and that changed the eternal destiny of our life. Because we believe some words, and we got born again. The word of God, which he gives us, is powerful. It's not senses. It's the word of God. Look at Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, please.
chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, it's page 157, verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You guys in Judea and all of you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and you guys hearken to my" what? Hearken to my words. This was Jesus Christ talking here. Did I screw up, Tony? Okay, Michael, we're talking outside. I used to be your friend. You know what? It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was Peter. This wasn't perfect Peter. Was it? This was, "Get thee behind me, Satan, Peter." This was, "I go a-fishing, Peter." This was, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm a sinful man, Peter." This was Peter who got wacky. This was Peter who brought some interesting reactions out of the Lord Jesus Christ and survived them. He was just like us, wasn't he? I can relate to Peter. Maybe you can too. Because we're all folks. We all got like this. Mine ain't perfect. And I don't think yours is either. And you know, sometimes it's easy to dwell on what's wrong. This was impetuous Peter. Wasn't Jesus Christ. He stood up and he said, "You guys, you hearken to my words." And this was the beginning of the church administration. This was no joke. This was the beginning of what we got right now. And he stood up and this dude received some prime reproof. This guy had done so many bad things, but he also walked on the water. As Dean Mercado said, he had a rubber butt because he could get up really quick. We've talked about soft butts and rubber butts and all. It has nothing to do with this teaching, by the way. There's Peter. I can relate to Peter. It was God's word. It didn't depend on his senses. It was God's word. Jesus Christ won the battle. Now are we going to believe the words in the word? Are we going to believe the words in the word? The battle has been won, and the battlefield is the mind. How do we reckon the old man dead and walk in newness of life? We believe spiritual knowledge, words that teach us who and what we have in Christ Jesus. The battle has been won, and we triumph in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 13, Colossians 1:13. I'm in Philippians. That's not going to help. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us," or rescued us, "from the power of darkness, and translated us," or given us citizenship, "into the kingdom of his dear Son." We are set free by Jesus Christ. We are rescued. We are delivered from the power of the adversary. And you know what that means? Does any devil spirit have any power over any of us? None. So if you ever get messed with by a spirit, that spirit has no right to do anything to any one of us because we have been rescued. We have been set free. That is our legal victory in Christ. That's our legal victory in Christ. How many football fans are in here? Football. How many Patriot fans are in here? Patriot fans. Patriot fans. You know, if you're a Patriot fan, I hate you. No, I'm sorry. That's not biblical reaction. It's not. If you're a Patriot fan, you have bragging rights. Nobody can say anything because your team's been a dynasty winning all this time. Phoebe, you're very happy at this. I can see. I love this teaching. Is that what you wrote down there? You have bragging rights because Bill Belichick won those bragging rights, or whoever you want to say, hey, you're a fan. You won bragging rights. And so people really can't say much of anything because that's just how it is. Jesus Christ won more than bragging rights. He won a victory over the adversary. He kicked butt, and it's a done deal. Now we just have to realize really what he did. And we realize that by believing words. Ephesians chapter 1. Patriot fans are paying attention now. Ephesians chapter 1. You got to do whatever it takes. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse Ephesians 1:3. It says, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is that true? It's absolutely true. And so it's not a pipe dream to believe that. It's not a pipe dream that no devil spirit has any right over any of us. It's the word. Romans chapter 3. Mary had it. She could have believed what the angel said, or she could have gone by her sense knowledge. And she chose to believe God's word. Revelation knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. You know, believing that we're righteous is so important. Because if I'm condemning myself, who am I thinking about? Me. If I'm condemning myself, I'm thinking about me, and then it's hard to bless somebody else because I'm thinking about my navel or glorying in my old man or whatever we want to say. And so we got to get out of that. Romans chapter 3. How do we get out of that? Romans 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? There it is, the words of victory, faith by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no what? Difference. You know, we need to get our eyes off of our inadequacies and onto God and what he's given in Christ. If I'm just thinking about what I don't have or what I've done or my old man nature, that's not going to happen. That's not going to help me to be my best. Have you ever had a problem and then you think about the problem and then you make the problem bigger because, whoa, this thing is just... Have you ever done that? When we dwell in our old man, what are we doing? We're magnifying the sin. We're magnifying what's wrong instead of saying, hey, I have the victory. It's done. Jesus Christ won that victory. I'm not going to go down that road anymore. I want to be my best for God. Because it's not about me. I couldn't have done it, whatever. But you know, you just got to walk like old Peter. He wasn't perfect Peter, but he delivered God's word. Wasn't Peter behind closed doors for fear of the Jews? He could have been thinking about that on the day of Pentecost, and he probably wouldn't have done so good if he was condemning himself for, like, hiding out. He didn't do that. He walked. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8.
words, words of victory. God's words are powerful. You could say to a devil spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of that man. You can, right? Words are powerful. Devil spirits obey words. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have power. Legal power. It's our power of attorney. We got to believe this stuff. Phoebe knows that the Patriots are really cool. She believes it. What we got is so much cooler. But the adversary doesn't want us to believe that. We want to believe words of victory. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 37, Romans 8, 37, it says, nay, in all these things we're more than what? Conquerors through him that loved us. You know, that's a really great verse to think about. More than conquerors. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? All these simple verses that maybe some of us, you know, came out of the womb saying. That's a figure of speech, but a long time ago, we knew these verses. They're still true today. They're foundational, but you know what? Knowing and believing the victory is really cool. Knowing, believing that it's God at work within us, Christ in us, all this stuff. This verse here, those are words of victory that we need to believe. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, please. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24, some more about the victory that we have. Who his own self, Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were what? When I was 30 years old, this verse was true. Is it still true today, now that I'm 35? It is. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Victory. Now, maybe we fall short sometime. We're human beings. But you know what it says here? By whose stripes ye were healed. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Talking about the victory that we have in Christ, Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, but my God, my God, my God, we heard that in the manifestations, that was really cool. But my God shall supply all your what? According to his riches in glory, by who? Supply all your need. Is that still true today? You know, my wife is back there, and Elise is our daughter. Hi, Elise. You know, when she was young, she was a little lawyer. And we'd make her certain promises, and she would never forget that. Like, maybe gonna get an ice cream, and like, I would forget. And then some of the scariest words that could ever be spoken to a parent. But Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said. Well, then, like, she had me cornered. Because sometimes I forget. I think sometimes, though, that what she quoted to me wasn't exactly a quote. Daddy, you said. Those were like, so that we went to get an ice cream or whatever it was. Daddy, you said. And it worked. It worked with me. You know, it works with God, too, right? Say you're going to the house of his healing presence. Maybe it's kind of good to take some verses along with you in the brain. And then when you're sitting there praying or whatever, we remind ourselves of, Daddy, you said. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's way over the top of my brain. I sure can't do that. None of us can do that. But look, sometimes we need stuff all the time. Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said. It's still true today. Those are words of victory. Those are words of victory. Jesus Christ won the complete victory. He won the victory over the adversary, his dominion, and his spirits. He won the victory over sickness and death. He won the victory over sin and condemnation and unworthiness. We can walk in newness of life as we believe the words of victory in the Word. The battle has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in practice, are we going to live that victory? And we live it by believing the words of victory in the Word. The spiritual words of victory. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. It's not about us. It's not about the nice camp or the great food that we cook sometimes or the smiles that we have and whatever. In John chapter 8 and in verse 32 it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
It's about the accomplished victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about what he did, not about what we do or have done. It's about what he did. And we have the victory. And if we're going to grow and we're going to walk and we're going to live up to this thing, we just need to believe the words in the Word of God and have the guts enough to carry them out, because Jesus Christ gave us the victory. And what a cool thing. Words have power. Words changed the world in Genesis. Words brought to pass the Lord Jesus Christ. Words did so many wonderful things because the Word of God has power. And when we believe the words of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our mind, then we walk with power. We have power for abundant living in practice. You know, Michael sometimes reads some profound poetry in his teachings, and that's really cool. So to close the teaching, I thought maybe I would like to read some very profound poetry. God has given us two ends with a common link. With one we sit and the other we think. Success in life depends on which one you choose. Heads you win and tails you lose. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the privilege of us being able to know you a little bit and to know your word and to have the joy of your word and your life in our hearts. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you.